But again, that's just me, and I'm on this hypocrisy bandwagon.
But there was a jar of wine. Listen to me, a jar of wine. A saucer of wine. Sarah Palin is fair game. Arguably, Bristol is fair game, too, because she's made herself a public figure, and she is an adult. When they stop the drum machine, and I can think I can, I
remember what it was. Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. I'm T-Fat P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm Max.
Nice sound effect.
I just opened it. I had to try that. I had something. You know, it's gotten to the point now where I have to do something silly every time I announce my name or say something stupid, which, of course, isn't difficult. But I'm running out of things to say. And I actually had something earlier today or yesterday that I was going to say and completely forgot it. But there was the jar of wine. Listen to me, a jar of wine. A saucer of wine.
A slipper.
That's right. And it still had the top in it, and I knew it hadn't been opened. Actually, this is the cherry Melomel, and it hadn't been opened in a couple of weeks, so I figured it would make a good sound. I think we got it.
I'm sure we did. Just so that people know, this is episode 163. Today is Monday, November 22nd, 2010. Today is the anniversary of John F. Kennedy's assassination.
Oh, you know, I heard somebody on the TV saying reflections on this day in history, and I'm like, well, it's not November 11th. It's not September 11th.
Right.
I didn't know that. I'm glad you told me that because I had forgotten. I do remember where I was that day, as I bet you do too.
I do. I was in school, grammar school.
Yeah.
And I, you know what's really weird about it?
What is weird?
I remember the girl in front of me turning around and saying that there was an announcement over the intercom system.
Yeah.
I'm in a Catholic grammar school.
Yeah, me too.
Announcement by the nun over the intercom system saying, please pray for President Kennedy. He has been shot. And then a few minutes later, the nun came back on and said, well, I have a moment of silence for President John F. Kennedy. He has been, you know, assassinated.
Right.
Well, when they said he has been shot, the girl in front of me turned around and said to me and the boy sitting next to me in the next row, she said, you know, I heard that he was going hunting, and I wonder if he had an accident.
That's weird.
Isn't that weird? I have no idea. I couldn't tell you who the girl was. I couldn't tell you why she felt that way or why she said that. But I remember those words almost like it was yesterday. I heard the president was going to go hunting. I wonder if he got. I wonder if he was in an accident.
Because it wasn't true.
No, wasn't anywhere close to true.
Where does a young Catholic schoolgirl get the idea that the president is going hunting?
Yeah,
it's like it's like she was channeling Dick Cheney.
Right? Well, you know, maybe her parent, you know, maybe she misinterpreted something that her parents said.
Yeah, that's
you know, he was maybe they said something like he's down in Texas hunting for votes.
Maybe that's
you know?
It.
And that was their that was, you know, and she only heard part of it, I don't know, but that's what she said.
You know, I have I had a perfectly clear memory of that day. I knew exactly what grade I was in, and we didn't have any kind of announcement system that worked in our grammar school. A girl came around from one of the upper grades and whispered in the nun's ear, and I could still see her. The interesting thing is that the girl, the exact girl who told the nun the story, the news, has become vague in my mind. The girl that I'm thinking of is younger than me, and it would have had to have been a girl who was older because I was in first grade, I believe. So it's weird that the things are beginning to get a little rusty in my memory.
And
it's frustrating. I was trying to explain my accident to a friend of mine at work on Friday, and I couldn't remember it exactly, and it was traumatic.
Right. Oh, sure.
But it, I mean, I knew kind of what happened, but I couldn't put it together precisely.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. The mind is going.
The mind is a terrible thing to waste.
But I know some things that a lot of people don't know. And I'm prepared to tell you what they are.
Well, be my guest. I'd love to hear some.
All right. Sarah Palin wrote a new book. A lot of people know that. Mm-hmm. What a lot of people don't know is that she wrote it with Cheech Marin. They're calling it The Audacity of Dope. Some people know that Kim Jong-il and the Koreans built a new nuclear reactor. But what a lot of people don't know is that Kim Jong-il is actually teaching George W. Bush how to say nuclear. Speaking of the W.
I saw the W on an interview and he still says it wrong. Yeah, nuclear.
You have to stop and think how to say it wrong, right?
Yeah, for sure.
He's selling his new book. He's calling it Decision Points. What a lot of people don't know is that he wrote it with Cheech Marin, and it's really the second book they wrote together. They just forgot where the first book was.
Speaking of his book, I read a blog today from a guy who wanted to take a stand against George Bush.
Yeah?
So he went. He got himself dressed up in a jacket and tie, and he went to the local Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
And he removed all of the George W. Bush books and put them in the true crime section. And every time he got approached by a staff person, he said he was from Central Office and they left him alone.
Wow.
And he kept putting the books in a bag and carrying them over to the true crimes area and putting them there. And what he found out was that he couldn't get them all in that area. There were too many copies around.
Yeah.
And so he started just putting them in other places randomly throughout the store.
Wow, this story sounds vaguely familiar to me somehow. I know it couldn't be because the book is new.
Right, yeah, no, this just happened this past week.
But something like this happened with somebody else's book.
Oh,
I
wouldn't
think we talked about it on this podcast.
That doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, it does to me. I can't.
Yeah, that's
I
funny.
Swear
that doesn't ring a bell to me.
And there's so many episodes of this show now.
Right.
We found we can't go back and figure out where we said
it's hard to find
it.
You're right. No, it's hard to find it. But he did post pictures of it to show that it was true. And there was one picture in the true crime section, and the whole thing was George W. Bush's book. We thought that was very funny.
Yeah, yeah. Hang on one more second. I got to throw out the cat again. She was literally sleeping on a pair of my jeans that were laying on the floor. The podcast starts. She gets up and walks into the wires on the computer.
I was going to say, isn't that amazing that she knows?
Yeah, I guess maybe it was because we started talking. But,
yeah,
you know, any place in the room is a big room. She has to go where the wires are.
Yeah, cats are pretty much like that, you know?
Yeah, and this one's very headstrong.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Do you have anything else that some people think they know but they really don't know?
No, that's it. That's
no, that was it?
Yeah.
Well, I have something that I'd like to know if you know.
Okay.
And that is, did you know about the Palin daughters on Facebook getting themselves into a little bit of trouble recently?
Mm-hmm. I heard something about it on Jon Stewart's show.
Okay. And thoughts?
Well, I forget exactly what it was, but Jon Stewart said, it's a 16-year-old, leave her alone.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just a 16-year-old. It was both of them.
It was Bristol, too?
Yep. She was involved, too.
All right. Well, she's an adult.
All right. And they were using inappropriate language.
Yeah.
I mean, they called another kid who made a negative comment about Sarah Palin's Alaska.
Right.
They called him faggot.
Yeah.
You know? And This was my thought about it.
Yeah.
Okay, this is my thought about it.
Okay.
You know, kids are kids.
Right.
And even young adults are young adults.
Right.
And words to them have very, very different meanings sometimes.
Words are powerful, sure.
Right. I go through this with I went through this with my kids and actually Mrs. Fab P over the word suck.
Hey, you and I had a discussion about that.
Yeah. For a long time, it was had very, very negative connotations. And today, it just is, you know, it's just an expression of dissatisfaction or an expression of whatever.
Or poor quality or effectiveness.
Right, right, you know. And the same sort of thing happened to the word gay, per se, that word, gay.
Right.
Because teenagers use it all the time, saying, that's gay, that's gay, you know.
Right. A friend of
wearing a bow tie, that's gay. Wearing, you know, playing, watching Dancing with the Stars, that's gay. You know, whatever it is.
Right.
You know, so the word has lost some of its. Right?
The word gay used to mean happy.
Right.
And homosexuals took it over and said, we want to be called gay. And gay, sort of the first meaning, became homosexual,
mm-hmm.
although it still has the meaning literally in the Oxford Dictionary, I'm sure, of happiness.
Sure.
But now it's taken on a new meaning, which is negative, bad, poor quality,
mm-hmm.
distasteful.
Right.
So I just think I love language, and I think the word has migrated and is migrating again. Now there's a backlash against that.
Oh, sure, sure,
where gay
absolutely.
People are saying, don't use it to mean bad.
Right, and I can understand them feeling that way.
Sure. They've staked out a word and said, this is ours. And the interesting thing is, probably most of the people who are using the word gay as a negative are perfectly fine with homosexuals.
Right.
I think it's a hip term, and generally hipper people are okay with homosexuality. It's
right.
They just don't – the gay people don't like that concept.
But there's also a difference between saying that's gay and saying you're a faggot.
Yes, faggot – yes, that's different.
You know, and my problem with this will continue to be seeing it as another example of hypocrisy in that Sarah Palin got all up in arms because
– oh, somebody used the word retard.
Rahm Emanuel.
Rahm, right.
Right? Used the word – retarded in a negative connotation,
right.
Referring to people that he didn't agree with as retarded.
Right.
Then her daughter uses the word faggot.
And she defends it.
Well, yeah. Well, and I have problems with that. Again, but again, that's just me, and I'm on this hypocrisy bandwagon.
I agree with you. It's hypocritical, and I think Sarah Palin is fair game. Arguably, Bristol is fair game, too, because she's made herself a public figure, and she is an adult.
She's done Dancing with the Stars.
Right. And there's a whole huge controversy over that.
Oh, sure there is.
Which is just
yeah.
It's just starting right now.
But that's gay.
But you're exactly right. You can't say it's wrong to say something is retarded. But it's right. It's okay to say.
And it's not even just about the word. It's the fact that it was used in a negative connotation that way.
It's really somebody a percussive word. It's a,
right.
It's almost a violent word.
And they both were. They were both words. Right. They were both used in that way, and it's hypocritical. That's all.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I heard about her new book today on MSNBC. Guess what? They were against it. She was calling out John Kennedy, of all people, saying he ran away from his religion, but Mitt Romney is running towards his religion, and Mitt Romney is better. First of all, I don't think Kennedy was running away from his religion. He was just saying that the Pope wasn't going to make decisions for him.
Right, number one.
And
right.
I don't know whether Mitt Romney is professing his Mormonism or not.
It was almost 50 years ago,
and
we
right.
deal with religion, and we deal with that in a very, very different fact. I mean, that would be like saying George Washington ran away from his religion or, you know, personally.
Right.
You know, it's we're not the same country that we were 50 years ago.
That's true. But interestingly, I think it was Morris Udall. There was somebody who ran in a primary for president in the Democratic Party and didn't get elected. I think it was him, who was a Mormon, and it just never came up. Mm-hmm. And now a person's religion is a primary consideration. And I think that was done starting with Reagan and the Republicans. And
right.
If you're going to say my religion is a primary consideration, then I think you're in trouble if you're a Mormon. I think that's fair game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree.
And according to Bill Maher, Mormons believe in, you know, magic underpants.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean.
But anyway, I have lots of more stuff.
Okay, let's go for it.
Some more stuff. One of our listeners, Barb, sent us a couple of pictures of pareidolia, of seeing the image, in this case, of Jesus.
Was it Jesus or was it Evan or Cat Stevens?
Cat Stevens.
I like that word.
Pareidolia?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a good word. I'm sending you this picture that our reader Barb sent to me, and I want you to look at it. There's two copies of it, a bigger one and a little one. And you tell me if you think it looks like Jesus.
Okay.
Right.
I will do that. And I'm opening it up now. Oh, just from the what you call it, I would say yes, it does.
Yeah, well, and it's actually more dramatic with
just
the smaller
from the thumbnail.
Picture. Just from the thumbnail. I mean, it jumped right out of me.
Yeah, as a full-size picture, it does not.
It kind of goes away.
It loses it. But when you have the smaller picture, I'm just not sure if it's Jesus or Cat Stevens.
In this case, I think it looks more like Jesus than it does Cat Stevens.
You might be right.
It definitely looks more like Evan than it does Cat Stevens. But I think it really looks like Jesus. Although he looks a little buff, I think.
He does, yes.
Meanwhile, back at pareidolia.
Yeah, right. I love that word.
Yeah.
I really, really do. It's a great word.
It is. It makes me think it's an Italian word. Do you suppose it is?
It would make some sense now, wouldn't it?
Or maybe originally Latin.
Maybe a Catholic word.
But it doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. It just has to do with perception. I mean, you can have pareidolia about anything that you think one thing looks like another.
Right. You think that the toast looks like a woodchuck or kangaroo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is, I believe, an evolutionary advantage. I think it's part I've been preaching a lot about the big brain theory, which is that, you know, these big brains were incredibly useful evolutionarily.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there are some sort of artifacts that come along the way. Some good and some bad. And one thing I've always said is the ability to perceive a beautiful sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe no evolutionary advantage in going, ah, that's gorgeous. But it comes with our ability to perceive beauty, which may be a way to reinforce reproduction. You know, I mean,
right?
You could find a scientific basis for beauty. A lot of scientists have speculated that beauty is just a way for a person to say, you know, I'm healthy, I could produce good offspring.
Right.
You know, it's symmetry in particular. We like people whose faces are the same on both sides.
Right.
You know, and so beauty.
Six-pack abs say that too.
Right. Yeah, well, the situation, you know, I'm...
Sure.
He's not having trouble finding a date from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Although he can't do Bristol Palin.
Right.
Which it always comes back to Bristol, doesn't it?
It always does. So what else you got for us?
What else do I have? I have stuff. Oh, so the other thing that Barb said to me was that my English is bad. And I'm usually pretty fussy about English. But apparently I said John and I as the direct object in a sentence. And according to Barb, and I'll bow to her knowledge, it should be John and me. As in, I should say, John and I went to buy drugs, but I can't say the Penguin sold drugs to John and I. At that point, it should be the Penguin sold drugs to John and me.
Right.
So, I stand corrected.
So she sent an email, and in a short little email, she
corrected my English and sent me a picture of Jesus.
And sent her pictures of Jesus. Holy mackerel. What a great gal.
So that's why I was so excited about this episode. I was like, you know, how often do you get your English corrected and see a picture of Jesus in one
shot? The same email. In the same email.
It is amazing, isn't it?
There's a picture opposite me of my primitive ancestry, which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming.